deliverance. This morning, I'm just going to talk about dreams and dream killers. Anybody had any dreams and somebody's come along and tried to kill your dream? No? One, two? Yeah? Oh, wow. You're all in your dream, are you? How many of you have had a dream from God? Because that's where all good dreams come from. God. That's what Daniel said. Any dream is from God. And he said it's God who gives good dreams. And so who's had a dream? And have you fulfilled that dream yet? Or are you looking for another dream? Because Joseph done that, he had another dream. I'm going to read just a little bit from Genesis 37. It says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, in the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flock with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Well, we don't know what the report is. We haven't got a clue on that one. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any other son because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornated robe for him. When his brothers saw that the father loved him more than any of the other brothers, it says that they hated him and they could not speak a kind word to him. They said that Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Just stop there for a moment. Isn't it something when God gives you a dream and then you want to spill the dream on your family and they go, I hate you. I want to kill you. My. Makes you to button your lip, doesn't it? It makes you just think, made some enemies here. It said that Joseph had a dream. And when he had told his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Not a good way of communicating your story, eh? I think a little bit of tact was missing in his life there. Now listen, I'm here and you better listen to me. Okay. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because his dream and what he had to say. Have you ever found that? They were dream killers, weren't they? Hey, we don't like what you're saying to us. Do you ever feel like that when God gives you a dream and you share it with somebody and say, oh, you got 1,000 to 1 chance. You know what I say to them? At least I've got one chance. There is a little bit of hope because with God I can do all things. And that may be the same with you. People might not like your dream. People might not like your vision. But the thing is, God spoke it to you. And if you're obedient to walk that dream out, it can affect the rest of you around here. It can affect us, right? So it said here, then he had another dream and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. Oh, here comes a dreamer. Here comes a dreamer. He's got another idea. And at this time, he says, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Oh, popular. When he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to on the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him. Three strikes against this dude again. But his father kept the matter in mind. The father kept in mind. That's something you got to remember. When God gives you a dream, you need to keep it in your memory. You cannot allow people to come along and steal your dream from you, because your dream gives your life. Your dream drives you to your passion. Your passion drives you in your vision to do what God has called you to do. People might not like what you were saying, or they think you were a puffed up little jerk and that you know it all, but this young boy was 17 years of age and God gave him a vision. And it wasn't just a vision for him. It wasn't him saying, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to be the kingpin here. As you go right through to Genesis 50, you can see where it led. If you follow the story right through, you can see that God used him, Joseph, to interpret dreams. He took him into prison. He got a prison ministry after he'd been thrown in the well and they were going to kill him. And then he was pulled out of there and he was sold into slavery and then shipped off to Egypt. All these things. And maybe you go through stuff like that. You might be shipped off somewhere. They want to get you out of town. They don't like you. I don't want him to be my pastor. I don't like what he's saying. Well, let me tell you something. God has sent me and I'm going to say it. So suck it up, buttercup, or get out of the picture. We have to be people who listen. We have to be people who can dream dreams and carry it on. It says, just thinking about some of the background. He was a favorite of his father, Jacob, the first son of Rachel. Joseph had aroused jealousy because of his brothers, the way he passed on the message to his son. We can't afford to have favorites in the house of God. We cannot afford to have favorites in our own household, because it causes hostility. These are things that we need to think about as we're raising our children. I was the eldest in our family. I was the one who got shouted all the time. And it wasn't always, oh, you're doing such a good job, Tony. I may have been the firstborn, but sure did get a lot of spanking, a bit like Wayne over there. It says they sold him into the Midianite slave traders, the Ishmaelite nation, who in turn sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, captain of the royal guard. That's in chapter 37. Even as a slave, it says that Joseph was distinguished himself, so outstanding that his master promoted him to the state of chief steward in his household. But after he refused to the advances from Potiphar's wife, she come unto him in adultery. She wanted to have an affair with him. He was handsome, he was strong, he was good looking, and he was in charge of the whole household. And she thought she could have a little bit of sport with him. But he said, do you think I would dishonor God in heaven and commit adultery with you? You Jezebel, really? And she tried it two or three times. And on the third time, he showed her a pair of heels. He run like mad. And that's what we've got to do. As Christians, we have got to run away from the things that come across our path that would shipwreck the vision that God has for you. You need to show it a pair of heels and run like mad. Have you got that one? Because God has got you in the house of God to not only to call you his children, but he is forming character in you. And you know something? Just as this young man had been thrown in the pit and pulled out and put into a household. It says then he goes into the slammer because he refused to have an affair with his boss's wife. He just done a runner. He said, I'm not in for this. And he run away, and because he chose to do right over wrong, he spent 13 years in prison. And then it goes on to tell us a story about while he was in prison, he'd given him responsibility again in prison. He went up the ladder right to the top. And you're familiar with the story, aren't you? You're familiar. I don't have to go through all the chapter for you, the chapters. But while he was in prison, he noticed the two guys in there that he was looking after, and he noticed that they were a bit downcast one day, and he says, what's wrong with you? Is there something going on? You don't look so happy today. Don't you like it in prison with me? He said, well, actually, we both of us have had a dream, and we can't really interpret it. He said, oh, well, why don't you tell me this story? Maybe God can interpret. God can interpret to you. So they proceeded to tell him about the grapes and the clump of grapes with three strands on it. So Joseph thinks about it and he goes, oh, I can interpret that for you. He said, what is it? He said, well, let me tell you. In 3 days, you're going to be set free out of here, and you're going to go back to the king's table, and you're going to be the wine bearer again. You're going to get your job back. And he got really excited. And he thought, wow, this is good. This is good. 3 days later, sure as God's prophetic word was relayed to him, the guy was free and up there serving the king again. It wasn't so good for the baker, though. This is where sometimes you don't want to hear a word of prophecy. Sometimes we don't want to hear the word of the Lord. We don't want to hear what's coming down the pipe. Now the baker, his dream was like he's walking along with the buns on his head for 3 days, and the birds were coming along and just eating, pecking away. Oh, he said, ooh. I don't know if you really want to hear this, and he's thinking to himself, this isn't hard to interpret. I don't know if he's going to like this one. He says, well, I'll tell you what it is. He said, well, in 3 days, you were going to be taken upstairs, and you're going to be killed, and the birds are going to eat your flesh for 3 days. Didn't want to hear that one. You ever been there? You don't want to hear the word of the Lord? Let me tell you, it's good if you listen to the word of the Lord. May save your head from being pecked out. It's important that we listen to visions and dreams. I think about Joseph, and I thought, he had a bit of a hard job. It wasn't the easy street. The baker, sad end. And I say this to you this morning, when God has called you to follow him, don't let nothing or nobody distract you from the call of God in your life, because he's given you a vision and he has given you a dream, and he wants to fulfill that dream and that vision in your life. It'll bring glory and honor, not only to yourself, wealth and prosperity, but you'll be able to have the ear that can save a nation like Joseph did. He saved the nation from starvation, if you go further on, when he talks about the lean cows and the fat cows. It tells a story about the corn, the lean corn and the fat corn. It tells you the story that we're going to have some lean years and we're going to have some prosperous years. But save up the good stuff for when the lean time is here. And you can guarantee from the Word of God, when you listen to the Word of God, you will eat the best of the land. Even if it's raining over there, cats and dogs, and people are dying and everything, but you can be sat here in the pleasures of Almighty God because you were obedient to God. And you didn't wander over there and put your hand up against God like it says in Proverbs, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It says a man rages his heart against God because of his own stupidity. God has called you to draw close to him. You are part of his kingdom. You've come out of the kingdom of darkness and you've been transferred into the kingdom of light. The dream God gave Joseph helped him to sustain him through his experiences, which would probably crush every one of us in this room. He was resented by his family, repeatedly tempted by his boss's wife, and then thrown into prison for 13 years for a crime he never committed. Yet at his lowest point, God was with him, arranging each step he took and then positioning him to fulfill his calling. The psalmist talks about the strange way in which God led Joseph. And then someone in Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave, it says they bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in iron collar until the time came to fulfill his dream. The Lord tested Joseph's character. That's in Psalms 101, verses 17 through to 19. I also want to encourage you in this. Our gender does not limit God. Our age is no problem to him. Our seasons in life don't limit God either. You say, well, I can't do that anymore. But I'll tell you something. God said to Caleb, I've given you a vision, and at 85 years of age, he says, I want that mountain. And he'd gone through it, and you may have gone through it, and you've been hurt, and you may have been rejected. You may have even been kicked out of a local fellowship and said, you're a nutball. Glad you come over here and joined us. Because we are out of a mind, but it's for Jesus. We've been washed in the blood. We have been sanctified. We have been set apart to do great things, attempt to do great things for God. Just like my friend Phil. He started out on an adventure that only God knows where he's going to take this man. Or any of you that you've attempted to do something for God. You may have prophesied in the church and this threw you out the door. My friend, Dietmar, is a born again, spirit filled, loving, caring man of God. Went to a different denomination, and because he just fell in love with Jesus more and more and more, they fired him because he was so too excited about Jesus. Barbara and myself pastored a church in Lake Country. And somebody came up after the service and said, don't want to come here again. I said, why don't you want to do that? He says, you're all too loving in here. You make me sick. I thought, can you imagine that? You're too nice to me. You hug me. Ooh, I don't like hugs. If you want to stay here, get used to it. We love you. It's called love. If you don't want us to hug you, that's all right. But we just want to tell you we do love you. You may not be a huggy person. But that's what the church is all about, isn't it? Love. God raised up Joseph because he loved the people. He was there, like it says in the scriptures, it's like he's like a bit of a type and shadow here. He's a beloved son, Joseph. He was a good shepherd. He was a sent servant. He was sold. He's the brother who was sold. The lonely sufferer. An honored statesman. And he was a world savior. Just like Jesus. It's just a type and shadow of Jesus. That's who we represent, church. We are the body of Christ. Like I said earlier on, your dreams have got to be focused on God's dream. Because you can have a dream on pizza, and that can be upsetting to the stomach, and it can be upsetting to people. But if you have a dream from God, and you position yourself to hear more from God, like it says in Habakkuk, you need to write the vision down. You need to wait for it. You need to ponder it. And then you need to share it with leadership. And you're not just being a lone ranger. You're not out there on your own. If you're around godly men and women who've been around for a while, they will try and help you to steer you in the right way. Like I said, when I was in Bible school, and I was teaching in Bible school, you'd get all these young people who get saved and they want to save the world in blink and heck. It was like, oh God, how do you control these? We're in the church, and you've got a building on the corner. It's a funeral home. We're ever getting calls of the... Come and get your students out of the funeral home. They're laying hands on the coffin. They're trying to raise the dead. I'm going, ah! And I'm running down there like, get up. They're full of zeal. Full of zeal. That's all. And awesome, awesome. You're right. It is awesome. I've seen people just operate in great signs and wonders. But they were young. They were inexperienced. And they were going into a position of authority under God, but really, did they have the leading of the Lord? It was a good thought, though. Everybody got to know about a Bible school. We got all sorts of nuts. No, we got all sorts of people who had giftings and calling that were rejected out of the local body. Oh, send them down to Kelowna. Maybe they'll help them out at a Christian center. Get them out of the way. But out of that, being in a Bible school where you were realized that these people were people in training, they didn't have it all together, and they were growing in their faith, they were in a place where we can afford to allow them to fail and let them not walking around like, oh, we're blowing it, and nobody, I'm looking for another church, or I'm looking for another town. So, like what Bob Ellis said this morning with the children, they may be running all over the place. Maybe they've just had a hard time dealing with the parents. Who knows? They've just had a rough time with the parents. They just need a break. Quick, let me go and torment that old person over there. Let's see how fast they can run. You know. I got in trouble many times for taking people in the old people's home around in the wheelchair and out the door. Because they told me they wanted to go home. I didn't know that was their home. But I soon learned. Listen, we need to realize that we're all growing and we all have to have patience and we've all been given the gift of love. And if somebody prophesies and you think that was off the wall, don't shut them down. Just go, oh, well, that's different. God can turn it around. Honestly, I was scared spitless when I first went to Christian Center. Before I was a pastor there, there used to be a guy who used to prophesy all the time. I thought, I felt like driving him in the side of the head. How come you always want to get attention for yourself all the time? And God says, don't touch my anointed. I went, what? He wasn't always right on, but sometimes he was bang on. So church is a training ground. You've got a gift. I think the leadership here will allow you to develop that gift and not shoot you down, because they want to see the vision of God in this city, and you're part of that vision, aren't you? As I said, we need to have a check and balance in our life. We need to know where that source is coming from. We've got to make sure that God is the source. And if He is the source, He will provide all the resources that we need to fulfill it. If we're feeling like we don't have a dream, maybe you're like that right now. Well, I haven't got a dream. That's okay. You can ask God if He can start one for you. And if you don't feel like you've got a certain dream or a vision to do something, make yourself available to go and fulfill somebody else's vision and dream. Because God's not giving up on vision and dreams. We've got eternity to fulfill all those things. And it's not always about your vision or your dream. Many times I've had to come alongside and support other people's vision, partnership in their vision, in their dream. I've come along to help and to encourage. There's the greatest thing of all, I think. Be an encourager, not a discourager. Just move people. Say, yeah, have a go at it. Somebody, I was talking to a guy at the coffee place down here on Friday night. Can't think of the name of the place where Marcel goes to. Medici's, and there was a guy got up there, and he'd been down south and he'd tried to make it as a musician, and I didn't know him, but he played really, really good. Well, before he got up, I noticed the mics weren't set proper, so I'm saying, when you go up there, get close to the mic with the guitar and that. Not that I'm a sound technician at all, but I gave him that one up because I'd heard other artists. So he'd done what I'd said to him, and you could hear him as clear as a bell. Went back after he'd come off the stage and introduced myself, and he said, oh, I'm here with my father, introducing myself to the father. Said, you must be very proud of your son. And I just said to him, you know something, if you've got a passion for something, you keep that as your vision and keep going. You may have not been rejected down south, but you've got a gift and you've got a call and you need to pursue it. And his face lit up. He didn't know me from a hole in the wall. But they did tell him about Pastor Bart and being a good musician. And if you're in town, why don't you come and meet him sometime? I want him to meet Bart because he's a great musician. But I know Bart will want him to know Jesus. Right? But it's all in the way you convey the message, isn't it? See, we've got to talk about Jesus, not just about a church. We've got to talk. You are the church. So your enthusiasm sows seeds of hope. When it comes out of the heart of the person, people can see it. Another thing we need is to give people not only your enthusiasm, let them see your patience and see the power of your words impacting them. Sometimes I stand back and I just say a word and you can see it just rock somebody. And you knew that that word for that person at that right time has done what God wants to do. I was down with Joel feeding the hungry the other Wednesday, and she told me a story about somebody who wanted to commit suicide. And do you know something? I was gutted about this because my brother committed suicide. And it just guts me. It just really guts me. She told me about this phone call. Somebody was attempting to suicide. I didn't know 2 hours after I was talking to that same person. And I started my conversation talking about how I struggled with addictions and then how my brother committed suicide. Not knowing that it was that person. But in the conversation, I was saying how devastating it was in our family because of that event. But how God has brought all our family to saving grace, knowing Jesus. And it brought hope back into the picture, and now it gives bring new life. You see, sometimes we open our mouth, and half the time, I don't know what I'm talking about, as you are aware of that. But God knows, and you know sometimes, that He's just sown a seed in my heart that brings me hope. Because if you tell people about all your exciting things in life, I can tell you very exciting stories about what's happened in my life since I became a Christian. But if I don't tell you the rough road that I've gone down and how I've had to fight to push through depression and oppression and all these things that come to undermine the faith that God has given me and the vision that God has given me, you say, well, he's a good storyteller. But what I've done in doing that, I've stopped you. I have not painted the picture good enough to say, well, if he can do it, I can do it, right? So Joseph could tell you about some of the stuff he'd gone through. Rejection. In the slammer. And then he can tell you about God had given him vision. And he sowed a word that some people liked and some people didn't like, but he was faithful to bring the word. And because Joseph followed through, as you see through the scriptures, he continued to be a visionary. He sowed the seeds of hope. And a nation was saved. And church, you, God's people, in this room, are not limited by God. You're only limited by your own vision of yourself. Can you get a vision for God today? Can you get a vision for this community today? Can you take those gifts that God has given you and go and share them with the people all around you? I think it's important that you do that. Helping to feed the hungry, you give them more than just a ham sandwich or a hot dog and a bun. You feel you can feed their spirit. That's why we've got the food banks, the thrift stores, and the churches, and the different people operating in the dream and the vision that God had placed in their heart. It was a small start. It's going to have great, incredible rewards. My friend is a dreamer. He's a stonemason. Alan Swindles, I might have told you about Alan Swindles. He's a carpenter. He's a stonemason. He's also a guy who can get a piece of stone and he'll carve you in stone. He can also paint you on canvas and he can build houses. He's multi-talented. But I was talking to him one day and I said, well, how can you do a finished product like our pastor here in stone? He said, well, first of all, I see the end product. I said, what? He said, I see the vision completed. Really? I said, and what's the next step? He said, well, the next step, he says, I've got to get the materials for the job. I've got to realize that if I am going to carve a piece of stone, I need to get the right kind of stone. I've got to get the right tools to do the job. I've got to position myself to think through critically, what do I need? What kind of chisel? What's the end product? And that's the same with an artist, isn't it? We've got artists in our assembly here, but they have to think it through. You've got to set your stall out. So what about you today? Are you going to allow God to put into motion some thoughts, dreams, aspirations, and then take it to the next level, prepare to go and do that? So, you need to get to the root of the problem, which is you. You have to go back to your roots in Christianity and let that root grow up into be the tree that bears fruit. But you have to go back to God and you've got to say, God, I am ingratitude in you and I want you to show me what you want me to do. That's enough for today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that we would have an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying this morning. Help us, Lord, to go back to what you first spoke to us. You give us a dream. You give us inspiration by becoming born again. Today I ask you, Father, that you would allow every person in this room to dare to dream again. I pray, Lord, that you would implant in your people a vision for the church with the open doors. We ask you, Lord, we ask you how you can use each and every one of us to reach out and bring people into your kingdom, out of the kingdom of darkness. Thank you, Father. Pray today, Father, that those of us who are old will be good fathers in this house, and that we will train up our sons and our daughters real well, and teach our children to reconnect with their family and with Father God. And we know the cost of a dream, it can be very costly, but we know, Lord, it's only faith in action that can bring about the change that you desire. Help us not to go back fishing. Help us to not throw the towel in. Help us, Father God, to pursue you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.